Hello, this is Jean Carriger, President of Capstone Marketing. I am thrilled to be talking today with Kristen Lewis, Director of Marketing at Eisner Amper, and the most recent inductee into the Association for Accounting Marketing Hall of Fame. Now, inductees need to have a minimum of 10 years of experience in the profession and service to the profession, as well as to the Association for Accounting Marketing. And Kristen certainly fills this description. She started her accounting marketing career in 1999. Remember that, Kristen? As a marketing coordinator at Goldenberg Rosenthal in Philadelphia. So here's a woman, she's got more than 20 years experience in this industry. At Eisner Amper, Kristen is responsible for the firm's marketing initiatives in Philadelphia and New York, so two big markets, as well as some firm-wide strategic initiatives. In her service to AIM, Kristen was named the AIM Volunteer of the Year in 2009. She served on the board from 2010 to 2018, serving as president in 2016-2017. And she's also chaired and served on several committees, including the Communications Committee, the Content Assessment Task Force, and most recently, the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Initiative. So Kristen, congratulations on being inducted into the AIM Hall of Fame.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Now, I understand there was a celebratory dinner afterwards because Kristen was there live at the summit when she received this award. And were you surprised?
I was 100% surprised, and my loved ones from my day job, from my AIM job, from my my life. Apparently, they were all conspiring against me to lie to get me to the ceremony, because I was originally just going to be a virtual attendee with for the policies that we have right now around conferences. So yeah, and like thinking back, it's like when you see one of those movies and the big twist is revealed and you're like, oh, that's how that happened. But yeah, they got me there. They lied and I'm oblivious and I just went for it. So yeah, it was a shock and a good shock. And just to be mentioned with some of those folks, like people who have taught me and mentored me and meant so much to me, like it's still amazing that I'm on that list. So yeah.
Well, it's very well deserved. And Lauren could barely get the words out, could she? She was so emotional the whole thing. So it was all just perfect. So we've been talking a lot about COVID and a lot about this pandemic, right? So we're going on 15 months now.
Yes.
So tell us about, just one of the ways that you've had to transition. I hate using this cliche word pivot. Tell me how you've kind of changed up an aspect of the firm's marketing program due to the pandemic.
Well, I think the biggest thing is probably just the online pivot for all of our programming. We've always done some webinars, but we were a very heavy in-person events shop, a lot of networking, a lot of folks in a conference room, and just hands-on relationship building. And I think we had done one program on our brand new ON24 platform when the evacuation order came down, get out of the offices. Like, whew, okay. We had done like a small webinar at that point on ON24. I'm just shocked at how quickly we were able to change things up. We became an online machine, and just everything that we were doing, we were able to make national in scope because the borders fell away. You're not worried about ordering bagels for people in different places. So it became an opportunity for more people to get engaged. We figured out how to do some virtual networking, which was probably the biggest thing that had to be taken out of our usual play in terms of market approach. And, and nothing was the same, of course. We were just trying new things, but we found different kinds of wins. And if I could say anything about that whole march of the virtual programming, more online, really resulted in an elevation of the work we had been doing as content marketers and just an increased appreciation of the role that that thought leadership plays in building relationships and establishing our brand and all the rest. I mean, there was no other game in town, so it was helpful just to spotlight all of the hard work that goes into those things. It wasn't just, oh, it's nice that we have all these articles. It was like, oh, wait a minute. This is an engine for growth. We're getting leads. We're following up on them. We're scheduling virtual meetings, et cetera. So it really helped establish that we weren't just the people who bring you into a room and wine you and dine you. We're helping you with legitimate solutions for your business and thought leadership and all the rest of it, even in a virtual environment. So yeah, it was a big change.
If there was ever a moment to lift the credibility of accounting marketers, this past year was absolutely it.
Such
an opportunity. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, for
sure. And the online networking, kudos. You know, I've worked with some clients on that because I don't believe a lot of that is going on. I think there's lots of CPAs out there who are thinking, we got out of this, you know, requirement to network. I don't like doing that anyway. So the firms that are doing it are definitely going to reap the rewards.
Yeah. And I think that one of the ways that we've approached it too is to change it up. So, you know, we started, let's have some virtual networking rooms before, after a webinar to talk about, you know, what are you seeing in your businesses, best practices, doing smaller sort of roundtables. And then, okay, how do we have fun now? Now that we've done that and people are a little bit bored being on a Zoom call, what do we do, a cooking class? Do we have, you know, do we have people talk about wines or art or, you know, a number of different topics? And that's the way you can build those relationships and have a little bit of fun, even when you can't be together.
Absolutely. And what's been the reaction to that?
I'm mostly pretty positive.
Those extra activities.
Mostly positive. And I think, you know, we found differing levels of engagement. You know, it can be hard to learn how to do these things virtually when you're one of those folks who just like jumps in a room and you're shaking hands and you're making things happen. You're not shaking hands. You're not necessarily making things happen in the same way, but you are building those sorts of relationships that become something additional. So for the most part, it's been positive. I think people just weighing like, what's the balance? And we will continue to do some of those things going forward for certain, but you know, we're also raring to go to you know, get back in a room with people because we love that.
Yes. And actually being face to face with people. Right. And and even without a mask, right?
I know.
Oh gosh. Ken, I'm looking forward to that too, for sure. So through this crisis and your firm's response to the crisis and how you've done things a bit differently, what have you learned about your firm or your colleagues or yourself? Does something kind of rise to the top?
I've been really proud of just the resiliency I've seen in our team, our marketing team, and just the broader firm. We really stuck together and figure things out on the fly. We like to use the terminology, you know, we built the car while we're driving it. I think this sort of proved to us we can do hard things, we can do new things, and we can also push ourselves and others, our colleagues, to do things that are kind of scary. You know, it's a lesson I learned for myself too. There were times when we launched something new, like our first attempts at virtual networking or, you know, big national summit, you have to face down a lot of your fear and anxiety after you sold them on this idea. Like I talked people into this thing. Oh God, I hope it works. Is it going to fail? And mostly though, these things worked out and it doesn't mean that they were all perfect. We learned lessons along the way, but they weren't massive failures. And, you know, we were pretty much rewarded for most of the new things that we tried. So it was a great lesson for the individuals on our team. It was a great lesson for me to just go for it. And also, you know, for our firm, like, okay, let's trust them with this stuff. Like we're not sure at first, but you know what? We're making it happen and we're seeing some value from it.
Right. Yeah. Cause I think, you know, even as marketers, we can sometimes, you know, get stuck in our little space and how we do things and what we do. And it's good to, you know, get tossed out there, so to speak, to try something new and different that makes you a little, get you a little nervous, but that's, you know, that's also the desire to grow, right? And so you know, we need to continually learn new skills as well.
Yeah. And if anything, that's, you know, it has not been a wonderful time. The connectivity, the productivity. I know we always want to be productive in what we do, but just the way, even the broader firm, like the practitioners, the ability to get a new, we had to set like new standards for everything we were doing, changing the model. And this is against a backdrop of loss and fear and sickness and uncertainty in the world. And
for sure.
Just, it's kind of, people call me sentimental sometimes when I'm on meetings because I always take time out to thank the team. Like I've always done that, but I get a little bit sappy these days because I'm like, you know, 15 months, guys, we've been moving mountains and, you know, we should always be grateful for what's going on, but just seeing it in action can be pretty inspirational.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I've given a lot of thought about, you know, how I'm spending my time and how I want to spend my time and, you know, things that you, you know, value and are thankful for in your life. There's lessons here, you know, that we need to learn. And I don't think we've learned all of them yet, but
no,
they're there if we're looking hard enough for it. I'm a believer. So let's step away from the pandemic, you know, for a minute. And as I said, you began your career in 1999. So this is over 20 years, Kristen. So what do you think is the greatest challenge in marketing an accounting firm?
Well, my answer to this question is probably going to be different whatever day you ask me. So,
okay, so
I've been around
Thursday.
To see those challenges. yes, day in and why. But, you know, I feel like one of the biggest challenges that we have to face, you know, as marketers for accounting firms is just getting down to like true differentiation. It can be a really tough concept, you know, identifying how you are uniquely different from another firm and how do you communicate that in a genuine way that's going to resonate with the market. Sometimes that feeling butts up against the nature of a CPA firm. You know, it makes it harder because CPA firms are conservative, they're compliance driven environments. They generally want to see what other people are doing before they take a leap sometimes. And, you know, that makes the bold ideas that maybe will help differentiate you. Sometimes they're a harder sell. But I think we've all been making, especially in this environment, I think we've been making strides there, and building up that trust helps you have those genuine conversations as a marketer and just as a team member, as you're putting together your strategic plan to figure out how do we say something that's different from everybody else? And how does that translate into something that's going to benefit that client? What's their real world experience that we can impact?
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, over the years, you're not the first one to mention this challenge. So it's real.
Yeah, that's the old story. Like you send the partner to the meeting with the proposal and they're like, oh, they told me that they want good service. They want, I'm like, did you listen or did you ask questions?
That's
and
right.
It's not against them. It is very difficult to get down and like ask those questions and like, you know, you gotta have to go spelunking to get to what the difference is. So
exactly. It is a challenge, but the smart firms continue to work at it.
Yeah, for sure.
I think for me, that's the bottom line, you know, because let's face it, there are folks out there that, you know, just don't really think any of that is important. They want the work and, you know, what we do. And of course they do. But a prospect also wants to know, you know, what's my experience going to be like working with this firm? You know, why would I select them over another firm? You know, it's all extremely important.
Yeah.
So if you look over, let's say, the past 10 years, what do you think has been the biggest change in accounting marketing?
You know, I think the rise of content marketing in terms of its importance, and that's 100% tied into the change in technology. You know, marketing automation, the web tools we can use now, the rise of serious social media strategy. I mean, 10 years ago, it was like, should we get this account? Like, what are we doing? Like,
oh my gosh.
Do we want to tweet? What's tweet? You know, and the partners would make bird jokes and you laugh along with them. But it's
Kristen,
just
I remember the days when we at a summit and one of the members said, yeah, and people are going to be able to search the web and find you. We were like, what?
They're going to find
you. Monumental changes.
Oh yeah. And just like rapid, like just the rapid advancements. Like, you can't keep on top of this stuff, and it's a whole new ball game. The really good thing about this is not just that there are new platforms to reach people and reach people in a dynamic way. You can really get segmented with the technology that's going on, but it's also given us more metrics that we can, you know, plan better, adjust our strategy in the middle, prove our concepts. There's still, you know, there's still the fuzzy element of the anecdote in terms of direct causation, because, you know, I've got a drip campaign going to this guy for a year, and then he has lunch with one BD and finally we're great. Is it the lunch? Is it that he got the lunch because my campaign program worked well? Like, it's all interconnected a bit, but this gives us a little bit more science around how we are interacting with the audience at large, clients, prospects, the greater business community. And it's really helping us, you know, have a stronger foundation and grounding in the data and really that interaction intelligence that helps us make important decisions about where we invest our time and our efforts. Cause we all know that's, both of those things are very limited.
Right. And don't you think that having that data gains more traction with the partners?
Oh,
and managers 100%. In the firm, when they can see numbers, right?
Yeah.
Here's a spreadsheet.
I mean, sometimes that ends up, you know, with someone trying to dissect your numbers, which is also fun. But, you know, what it is it gives you additional credibility too, where I had a partner last week. I had a meeting with this partner I don't work with that much, who quoted back a statistic I said in some meeting like 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, oh my God, you were paying attention. And he's like, well, yeah, you used a number. And I'm like, yeah, okay, good. Well, then I'm making my points, and I'm making my points because I'm relating it to something that's a little bit more tangible and, right, you know, success driven. You can see a result.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So which factor or which one of your skills has contributed to making you a successful marketer?
Oh boy. This is where I get nervous talking about myself. I think one of the biggest things for me is probably I see connections, and connections in terms of how do I put people and resources together, whether it's to solve a problem or, you know, make a situation better. And all of that, I think, stems from communication. And that's not just writing or speaking. I really think that true communication is grounded in listening and being able to effectively sit back, read a room, ask questions. I mean, as marketers, it's really important for us to develop a rapport with our internal clients, you know, the partners, the managers, and everyone else, asking those questions about what are you seeing? How are you experiencing things? What are the clients telling you? And just trying to figure out, what are they willing to do? How are they willing to participate in that process? What their drivers are? Some people are really focused on comp. Other people just, you know, they want to be recognized for the work that they're doing. Then we have to translate those sorts of concepts into the real world. So whether it's positioning my business plan for an initiative so that my partners will say, yeah, that seems good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or if it's figuring out, what are they saying on the technical side? And then how is a person in the real world who is not a CPA, but who may buy their services, how are they going to take that and find value in it? So, you know, being a listener and then I guess a translator to figure out how to get those messages out. That's helped me immensely.
Right. And you know, that was a great answer, and it just emphasized the importance of being able to get back together in person. Cause when you talk about, you know, reading a room and all of that, you know, you're seeing people, you know, online, but it's not the same, right? You're not seeing right. as much of the body language and all of that to be able to interpret, you know, what they're thinking.
Yeah, you can, and you can tell too when you're virtual. One of the other struggles that we have is that people have four screens, and there may be something very exciting or terrible or something going on a different screen. But, you know, that focus on like, let's solve the problem at hand and let's have like a genuine dialogue back and forth instead of, you know, ticking a mark, like,
right,
we got the meeting done. Let's have a genuine exchange.
Exactly. Exactly. Focus, right? Be present, right? Is that the term? Let's focus on one thing at a time.
Oh, exactly.
So what would be your best piece of advice for other accounting marketers?
Oh boy. My best piece of advice, well, beyond just like knowing your stuff, because I think, you know, lifelong learning and curiosity is hugely important. Mm-hmm. It's not just about what's going on in your firm, but you need to know that stuff. It's like the outside world. But I do think that the marketer's game is really about expectations. It's about setting them, managing them, and then exceeding them, doing your best to exceed them. So when you're setting those expectations with leadership and just with everybody on the team at all levels, what are those priorities and focus areas, and how is that going to roll up to your firm's strategy? You know, this is where you can say, hey guys, this doesn't make any sense. Why are we pursuing this? And it doesn't, our firm is not trying to grow that area. Why are we doing this thing? A lot of energy gets wasted just like randomly going out and doing things at an accounting firm. And I can say that because it's been 20 years. So as we've made great progress, you know, I remember at the beginning of my career, it would be like, just do this program for this guy, get him happy.
Be an order taker, right?
Yeah.
Don't think strategically, just do things.
It'll make him feel happy. Okay. Cool. I don't know. Is that good for the firm? So identifying that and figuring out, you know, what the plan should be around that and what your results are going to be and what those success factors, by the way, are for everyone involved. So you can't like have a plan and then have it be on the marketers to implement every element of it. Everybody's got to have skin in the game and a role and something to do if they're going to claim the success or just be a part of it. So they're setting expectations, there's managing those expectations, which is hugely important. And that's really where your rapport can break down if you're not a good communicator. You know, are you reporting about progress? Are you having regular communication in the right language? So how you speak to a member of your team is going to be different depending on their level or what they're doing with the project, et cetera. And then those accountability measures we're talking about, like you don't want to be left holding the bag as a marketer when something doesn't go well, because maybe the team didn't have buy-in or they just rubber stamped it and said, yeah, that seems like a nice campaign, you know, go off and do that. You don't want that to be happening either. And then finally, for marketers, it's that exceeding expectations. I know we talk about that a lot. You know, how can I go out there and kick butt and look great? But, you know, we really have to go the extra mile in what we do. And, you know, marketers, I love our energy and we've got great ideas. And when we go the extra mile, we can be very, very extra about it. Which, you know, it's good and it's fun. But, you know, if you approach these things like the CPAs do, if you act like an owner, because you are owning it, it's if it has to do with marketing, you should be owning it, what's going on with it. You're going to be successful. They're going to see your passion, and that makes people want to work with you that much more.
Right, for sure. So then what would be your piece of advice for managing partners?
Depending on the day for that one as well. No. I think just, you know, the importance of, you know, bringing your marketer in, I think bring them to the table, bring them in early and often to have these sort of conversations. They can really help build and implement your strategic plan beyond like the pure marketing and sales aspects of those. You know, how are you addressing issues that are in the zeitgeist? All of this has to do with your firm's brand. Mm-hmm. What's that experience you're putting out there into the universe? And marketers also help you explore new approaches to problems you may have. You may not think that we have a certain expertise, and we may not, but we may ask a question that'll give you a great idea. I know sometimes we're brought in a little late when a major decision has already been made and we're trying to implement a plan that we didn't really help build. And that's not just frustrating for the marketer, but ultimately less successful for the firm. So I want to caution too, marketing is not the answer to every problem. But, you know, it's tied into so much and the value and perspective. We talk a lot about how do we, you know, bring in multidisciplinary teams to do a really great job on an engagement. It's kind of the same approach you want to do as you build your firm. Bring in those different perspectives and they're going to help you build a solid plan that gets stuff done.
Right, for sure. Well, now we know why Kristen was inducted into the AIM Hall of Fame. This was so fun, Kristen. Thank you. So I've been talking with Kristen Lewis, Director of Marketing at Eisner Amper, and the most recent inductee into the AIM Hall of Fame. Very well deserved, Kristen. Congratulations again, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Jean. I appreciate it.